So today we talked to a guy named Jason Garrison. Now, we started off this whole conversation talking about his hometown in Haleville, Alabama, and the interesting things there. We talked about his dad. Now, here's the crazy thing about his dad. His dad was one of 18 kids. I did not stutter. 18 kids. Who he learned the say yes work ethic to that has really propelled this guy to massive success. We would go down the journey of a divorce that blindsided him and how that shaped him and how that helped him find Jesus, but also being in an industry. So here's the thing I want people to understand is like he was in an industry for 16 years and doing well. Had a mind shift and went in a different direction and is absolutely doing wonderful in that industry. You are going to love this two-part episode with Jason Garrison. One of the biggest gripes one of the biggest things that baffles me is real estate agents that don't invest in real estate. And if you've listened to this at all, you've heard me 1,000 times say, you have a cheat code, quasi-insider trading on all the deals that are coming up. You just do. You have access to the MLS that everybody doesn't have access to. You know when things are fixed to come. I mean, you've got a network that understands these things. So what's your personal approach to real estate investing and how has that evolved over time?
Yeah. Well, when I first got into real estate, it was not to invest in real estate. It was to help people solely. And it still is. My intentions, while I do invest in real estate and I do some fix and flips and some other things, it's always to help people. That's the sole purpose I got into the business. I care about helping people more than I care about the paycheck. And then, but that shows through the production, through income, and just how the Lord has blessed me through that. Is I want to serve and I want to help. And when I left banking, I got to the point, and I was telling you about this earlier, that you know, I was building these relationships and I got to a point where I wasn't able to help them. Well, now I can walk into any real estate deal and I don't have to tell them no. The only reason I tell somebody no is that if we're just not a good fit to work together. But it's not because I don't have a solution. It's not because I don't have wholesalers I could sell their property to, or it's not because I don't have investors to sell it to, or that I can't buy it, or maybe we can put it on the retail market in the multiple listing service. So there's options. So it's solely because maybe we're not a fit or maybe the distance.
Yeah.
It's not because I can't help them. I can help them.
Right.
The first is to serve and to help, and then to buy real estate. If I see an opportunity that looks good, if the numbers look good, then, and I've picked up a couple of properties and rehab them, put some money in it and put it back on the market and sell it. And that's most of my, I don't have any rentals, don't have any doors actively, but it's more fix and flip. And then, from a fix and flip standpoint is really where I get involved in.
So we talked about this a little bit off camera. So explain to me why, because a lot of people feel like that having rentals, whether it be multifamily or single family homes or short term rental, whatever, that's kind of like a next level up. Like I got rentals. There's a lot of people that think that. Why do you not want rentals?
You know, I don't, maybe it's my view. And I would love to, for someone to, I guess, you know, really kind of really encourage me in that way, because I love the idea.
Yeah.
I love the idea of passive income. And that's one thing really about real estate that I've learned over the years, you know, again, working for corporate America, you know, over that 16 years where you're getting a paycheck every 2 weeks, you're getting bonuses, you're getting the 401k and you've got the benefits and the health care. Well, as a business owner, you have to create that.
Sure.
And so now I'm only as good as my last deal. I mean, if I go on vacation, well, who's pressing the gas? Who's calling the customers? Who's following up? Who's closing that deal for me? So if I'm sick, where's the money coming from? And so you really have to, so the idea of that passive income sounds wonderful. What doesn't sound great to me is, and again, maybe this is the piece that I could let go of and let somebody else do it, but it's the piece of having that tenant in it that they don't pay rent for a month or 2 months or 6 months or 7 months, or, you know, they don't pay rent at all. And then you got to go through the eviction process. Or then when they've gotten frustrated during that eviction process, I've seen it done. They pour concrete down the toilets and now all your pipes are filled with concrete.
Yeah.
Now you got to, so it's those things. And maybe that's a fear mentality. I know that, you know, God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and self-control. But maybe that's what it is. And so my thought process has always been, look, I want to get in and out. I want to create larger chunks of income and maybe do something else with it. And so what I've done is if there's a right opportunity and I feel there's some spread in there, some margin, and I can make some money, I'll buy the property, put some money into it, turn around, put it on the market and sell and lather, rinse and repeat. Now, again, that doesn't provide a passive income. So that piece I still need to carve out, but it is providing other avenues to make money.
Sure.
You know, to grow financially.
Right. That's great. So the funny thing is I had a conversation with a guy 2 weeks ago. He was the other way, thought the other way. And he thought in a way of, he wants to buy rentals. He doesn't want to buy fix and flips. And here's what I explained to him is in investing, you have your job. You're not a W-2 employee. Mm-hmm. I'm not a W-2 employee, but I have a job that I go to every day. Your job is real estate. Mm-hmm. Some months you make lots and lots of money. Some months you don't make, as much.
Yep.
But from an investing standpoint, I feel like we have to have two different avenues we go down, mm-hmm. two different thought processes. Mm-hmm. The first is a long-term thought process. That's rentals. So we have rentals. But I don't manage them. Now, I don't make as much when I do that.
Right.
But I don't want to fool with it.
Right.
Then you have a short-term, like we have long-term money, short-term money. The short-term money is the fix and flips. The short-term money is the private lending that we do. Having both of those that coincide can help the wealth creation mm-hmm. process. Because mm-hmm. if you just do short-term stuff, where are you doing with the excess? That's my first question.
Yeah.
And then the second question is, if you're just doing long-term stuff, you're eventually going to run out of cash
yep.
to fund the long-term stuff.
Yeah.
So I think of long-term stuff as, hey, I'm doing long-term investing because I don't need that money right now. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need the money. The $412 that comes off that's an excess of this rental, I don't need it.
Right.
So we're going to take that money. We're going to either funnel it back in the property, allocate an IBC account for that, you know, those fixes or whatever, so that I can have something that A is going to appreciate over time, that B, somebody else is going to pay down the debt.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got the short-term stuff. So I think your fear, this is not a counseling session. Yeah. This is just
I'm ready for it. Come on.
I think your fear, though, is you have a thought of like always saying yes, mm-hmm. where in some cases you have to say no, because the no gets us to our next yes. Mm-hmm. And the yes may need to be a little bit of a higher standard mm-hmm. of where, because like, I'll give you a great example. People are not pouring concrete down toilets in Vestavia.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or
that's right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. So like they may be in other parts of the town,
right.
But making sure that you've got a property, making sure the rents are high enough to where you can protect yourself from mm-hmm. people that, and then obviously protecting yourself legally. You got to pay for that kind of stuff.
Sure.
But where those things create value is like, I heard a guy say this. He said, what if you just bought one rental a year?
Mm-hmm.
What if you just bought one rental a year?
Yeah.
And let's just say in 10 years, you've got 10 and you've got someone managing this. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a company in town called Evernest. They manage, or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
What are those 10 houses going to be valued at mm-hmm. in 10 years
mm-hmm.
when Susie's paying the rent?
Yeah. Yeah. No, so, very, very smart.
Are you wrong? No. I just think that it takes opening your eyes to see that it's not just one way. Because, I'll give you a great example. We own apartments.
Mm-hmm.
Jason, I ain't bought an apartment in about 4 years.
Yeah.
Well, the reason I haven't bought an apartment in 4 years is because there hadn't been anything out there that I loved.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be patient mm-hmm. with it. But as far as our private money lending, bro, we've done $2 million of deals in the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, love it.
So, the two different avenues, I think that one of them is obviously, but I'm a long-term thinker now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we talk about IBC in a minute. Like, that's a long-term thought process. Yeah. I'm a long-term thinker. So, you deal with a lot of agents. You got a great office. I know your office. So, when you're in those offices, you got a lot of people, your peers, that don't invest in real estate. Mm-hmm. What is the number one reason real estate agents don't invest in real estate, in your opinion?
Number one, I think there's a lot of reasons, but, fear could be one of those. I think also, too, income. I mean, there's not a lot of, we've got a lot of agents in Birmingham. I think the market is saturated. That's starting to change. There's some, because of the economy and home prices, and you said there's some some folks fleeing the real estate business.
Yeah.
But the barrier to entry is really low, so anybody can get into real estate. But there's, you know, not every real estate agent is making six figures, you know. So I think part of that is just income. They don't have the money to do it. You know, I think the average real estate agent makes anywhere from $30,000 to $40,000 a year. And so they don't have money to buy.
Gotcha.
I mean, I think maybe that's a big, you know, I'm really don't know. I mean, I'm just speculating. So I think maybe, I think that's a big part of it, right, is income. And then the other one is kind of the fear-based mentality of, the, you know, they just, and then some truly just don't care enough about it. They've got a husband that works in at his job, and he's been there for 20 years, and maybe she loves to just go sell one house or two houses or three houses.
Make 30 grand for run money.
Yeah, for no, right, sure. You know. Yep. And then there's the guys, same thing. You're not just women. Maybe she works in corporate America, and then he's fine with the level of deals he's doing. Yeah. And so I don't know if there's one thing I could put my finger on, but I think there's multiple.
So you talked about the fix and flip stuff, and that's like the area more that you love and look at. What? Give me a strategy as a real estate agent, and you were advising another real estate agent to do the fix and flips. Tell me like your strategy of what you're looking for.
Yeah. Well, I will say this about the fix and flips. One of the reasons I like that so much too is really more I'm very, very creative mindset. I love to go into places and say, man, I could make this and turn it into something.
Yeah.
And that allows me to do it. It allows me to be creative on that side. From a fix and flip standpoint, when I can go in and look at some old carpet or paint or look at maneuvering the kitchen in a certain way, like I love to, I can see that. Mm-hmm. And not many people have that capability, but I think that's fun. Mm-hmm. And so I like it for that reason. But if I was going to encourage someone, you know, you got to obviously know your market. You know, I've been in Birmingham for 24, 25 years, but also through banking, that allowed me being on the business side. I met a lot of business owners, and so I would work in Gardendale, Vestavia, you know, Fultondale, Trustful, Centerpoint. Sure. So I was going to all these areas, and so when I don't really have a certain area that I focus on just because I tend to be the yes person. If somebody needs me in Morris to go sell a house, I'm going to Morris. They need me in Clear, I'll go to Clear. Or wherever the money is, that's where that's where I go. But I think you do have to know your market. You know, I look at a lot. I depend on a lot of spreadsheets and look at a lot. Like Focus First is a great company I use for analyzing deals. You know, I can pull up a 12-month period in a neighborhood and see what's sold, what's pending, what's active, what's under contract. And it will show me, again, it's a lot smarter than I am, right? So let's use the technology. Throw all that into a spreadsheet, and it tells me, well, which one's overpriced, which one's underpriced. Well, obviously the one that's overpriced, I mean, it allows you, even from I do that with my clients. Hey, look at this house. This is where we need to price your house to get it sold. And look at this one that's been sitting on the market. We see the line moving up. Well, it's way above the fair market value line. That's why it's been sitting there for 165 days. Let's get it down to, and so it takes the guesswork out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, again, let's dumb it down. Let's look at the numbers. The spreadsheet doesn't lie. And so it's very clear, hey, here's my fair market line.
Right.
If they've got the house listed below fair market value, well, that's
why
the one.
Why is it listed?
Why?
Yeah.
Well, then that's what I need to be looking at. Maybe that's one I need to buy. Maybe it's because they're just looking to get out of it really quick. Maybe it's distressed. But that's the one that I'm looking at saying, hey, that's they've got this drastically underpriced for a reason. What can I do now to go to acquire it? And then what kind of money can I do to put into it to bring it up to fair market value or maybe even better? And will that
is there a spread there?
Yeah, is there a spread there? Yeah. And that's very easy to see. When you're looking at spreadsheets, it's not just I'm guessing.
So you like this, you know? Focus First. The Focus First software is a huge help for you.
I use it every day.
That's perfect.
Multiple times a day.
Okay.
I mean, it's great. I look at for my own business, if I'm helping sellers or buyers, I look at, it's wonderful.
So it's something that you use to kind of analyze deals for your clients, but also to analyze deals for yourself. That's
every
wonderful.
Day. Every day.
Okay. Thomas Cox, rookie real estate agent, and you're my mentor. I'm the ERA king. And the broker there has said, hey, Jason, I need you to mentor Thomas for the next year. What are you going to tell me? What are you going to teach me over the first year?
Do not be a secret agent. You're not 007.
Secret agent, number one.
You're not a secret agent.
What's next?
Talk to at least 50 people a day. Contacts.
Okay.
Not voice messages. Talk to them.
Not a secret agent. talk to 50 people a day. What's next?
You got to get it. Go knock doors. Go.
What does that mean?
Go pick a neighborhood that, you know, let's see, we've got all this data on, in the MLS and the multiple listing service.
Okay.
And we can see the absorption rate. That means how many houses are turning over in that neighborhood at a time. Well, if you've got high turnover in a neighborhood, that's the neighborhood you need to go knock in. Meaning that if I've got a neighborhood, let's just say Tanglewood in Vestavia.
Yep.
Or Countrywood in Vestavia. No, we can make, yeah. We can name millions others in Birmingham. But let's take Countrywood and let's say that, and I haven't looked at these numbers today, but let's just say that there's, you know, of those houses, maybe there's one selling every year. They're not moving. People love that area, and they truly do.
Sure.
They'll get into it. Now, that's not true facts, but let's just say they love the neighborhood. They get there. They stay there. Average people are staying there in those homes 15, 20 years.
Don't go knock those doors.
Don't go to knock that.
Okay, good.
Now, if I go to Gardendale and I go to Lexington Park,
okay,
and I see that they're staying every 2 to 3 years, there's high turnover, well, go knock on the door.
Stockton and Trustful. A lot of people moving in and out of that place.
Go knock on the doors. Hey, I'm the real estate agent.
That's great.
I'd like to say hello. I'm not here to sell you anything. Here's my card. How you doing?
Where do you see that absorption rate? You said on MLS?
Yeah, you've got to do the math on that.
Yeah, sure.
In the MLS, multiple listing service.
Okay, don't be a secret agent. Talk to 50 people a day. Go door knocking. Cool. Anything else?
Do a newsletter once a week.
Do a newsletter and email.
Once a week.
Okay.
Email newsletter once a week. I used to use MailChimp. I use Constant Contact. So I collect, in those conversations, I'm trying to collect names, addresses, emails, and phone numbers. If I can get that information, then I can put them into a newsletter. And that newsletter is showing my listings, showing my Instagram, showing social media platforms, highlighting just articles about real estate, just being informational. And I send that once a week. That once a week email every Wednesday goes out to these clients. And in the subject line, they see Jason Garrison, ERE King, my telephone number.
Mm.
Even if they don't open it up every week, Wednesday,
every
Jason Garrison, ERE King, telephone number. Jason Garrison, ERE King, every week. And I'll have them. And you'll see, I don't even pay attention to open rates, unsubscribes. I have those.
Sure, all the time.
Doesn't matter. But I'll have people call me when they're ready.
Wow.
I mean, I've been sitting in this for the last 9 years, and I'll have people out of the blue just call me, and I'm like, how did you get my number? And then I'll go back to my mail, to a Constant Contact, and I've had them in my newsletter. And they didn't need me at the time, but 6 years goes by, 5 years, or maybe 2 weeks, because they used to send it monthly, and I thought, man, there's a lot of things happening in 30 days. Why am I just sending it 30 days?
So
but I had this kind of fear mentality that, man, people are going to get spammed. I don't like that. You know, they're going to unsubscribe. Who cares? Let them unsubscribe. If they don't like it, they don't like it.
Right.
So I changed that and said, listen, 7 days, you need to see my name every week.
Wow.
And if you don't like it, then unsubscribe. I'm going to keep sending it,
yeah.
You know, to those that want to see it.
Sure.
And so, talk to 50 people, door knock, don't be a secret agent.
Newsletter once a week.
Subscribe to Red X and hit the phones.
I got one more that you hadn't mentioned and that you're going to know what it is. All the time. Wear your brand.
Wear your brand. I got it on here.
Yeah.
What
is Red X? Tell me what Red X is.
Red X. I can drop a pin in any neighborhood in Birmingham and pull up your telephone number, pull up the address, how long you've owned it. And a lot of times now that even has an email address in there.
I want to transition a little bit because those are great tactical things. I want to transition a little bit to real estate investing. Walk us through your best real estate investment to date.
Oh, goodness gracious. Gardendale, Lexington Park was calling, cold calling, using Red X, and dialing for dollars, dialing to serve people, and ran across a young lady who needed some help. She asked me that day when I was talking to her, she said, how did you know I needed to sell my house? I said, I didn't. I had no idea. I said, but this is my job. This is my career. This is the way I serve and help people. I said, my goal here is to help you. And if you've got a need, and she goes, well, how did you know I needed to sell my house, though? And I said, well, I didn't. I said, I was just calling, introducing myself to, you know, to people like you and to your neighbors to see if you guys had any needs. And she goes, well, we do. We're looking to move. We need to move quick. We may be foreclosed on. I'm starting to miss some payments.
Wow.
And I said, well, what are you doing today at 2:00? Met with her, and I love to give people, you know, three options when I meet with them, especially my sellers. You know, let's talk about some options. So I met with her, sweet, her and her husband, we sat down at the coffee table and just kind of ran some numbers. And I said, hey, from a retail perspective, here's what I think we could get for the house. And she was on a time crunch. She'd already missed some payments. The bank was knocking on the door, but it also needed a little bit of work. And I said, and then here's your retail price on what we think we could get. Here is also what we think we could get if we put a little money into it. You know, let's go paint it. Let's put some new flooring in. Can't maybe it's some that. LVP, maybe some yeah. paint. She didn't have the money to do that. Obviously, she was missing payments. She couldn't do it. Yeah. And I said, here's the price. And I said, but let me show you this third option. The third option is I could buy it today, and this is the number. And what I'm going to do to that is I'm going to put the money in it. So I'm going to take it off your hands so you're not foreclosed. I'm going to put the money into it to put new carpet in it, to put some LVP in. I'm going to put a new roof on it. I'm going to put new... going down the list and said, but I want you to know that I'm going to sell it for a profit. I said, I'm in the business to help people and to make money, and I've showed you some options here. What would you like to do? She said, I want you to buy it.
Wow.
And so I probably made, usually I'm making only 15, 20. I probably made 35, something like that on that, $35,000 or $40,000. But I think it's presenting the options. You know, I'm not shady. I don't really go out. I show them, hey, here's what I could do. If you want to put a little money into it.
If you want to flip it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's what you're saying.
Because I want them to do that. Hey, if you want to make, this is your home. If you've got the money to do this, let me show you. If you put $10,000 in it, here's what you could sell it for. Well, some don't have that. And in some cases, what I'm starting to do right now is, if they want to do that and they're like, gosh, I'd love to do that, but I don't have the $10,000, I say, well, I'll loan you the $10,000.
Have you ever subbed a deal? Done no. Subject to?
No, I've talked a lot about it with clients, but I have not done one yet. So but it's very interesting strategy.
I think that like what you just said, mm-hmm. that is the, even though you made lots of money there, that is the epitome of a great agent, of presenting all the deals and saying, this is, mm-hmm. and like, you made money, and a lot of people think if you're making a lot of money, you're not helping, but you made a lot of money, but you helped that lady. Totally helped someone doing that. And people, I think agents have got to get outside out of their mind and go, that is as much of helping them as anybody.
Well, back to your rookie question, is how would you coach a rookie? Well, rookies typically go out, and even seasoned real estate agents, if they can't go out and just sell that property,
sure.
they're like, I can't help you.
No, well, you can't. You got a wholesaler list.
You've got a wholesaler list. You've got an investor list. There is no reason I should walk into a house and talk to a homeowner and tell them I cannot help them.
Ooh, that's good.
And the only reason again, somebody would say that is because if they're not educated enough with the options. And so so I am not telling anyone that unless again, it's just maybe we're not a good fit
yeah.
personally, or maybe it's the distance, but it's not because I don't have options. Wow. And I show them those options, and I am very transparent and very clear because I want them to feel that they're being served, they're being helped. Yeah. There's not some guy's just going to come in and buy my property for 30 cents on a dollar, and he's going to put 15 or 20 in it, and now he's going to walk away with 50 grand. No, you do that. I'll show you how to do it. Do you have the money to put it into it? No, I don't. Well, so it's the showing them options.
Giving them the options. That's
giving
good.
Them the options.
Tell me
that's
a real
what
estate
you gotta do.
Deal. Tell me a real estate deal that didn't go good. Give me a bad deal experience.
You know, by the grace of God, I haven't had one.
That's great. Amen.
I mean, I'm not bragging one bit.
No,
I'm truly
listen,
have not.
I haven't had one. I'm going through one now, but for the most part, I've been pretty clean. I agree with you.
I haven't. And I think, again, laying out all the options not only helps them, but also helps me to see opportunities in that deal. And if something doesn't feel right, if the Holy Spirit's talking to me and just something's not right about it, I'm not going to go that route.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take on that debt. I'm not going to go buy that. I'm not going to. And so, I've been very, very fortunate.
That's good.
I've been very, very fortunate.
So if you could go back in time and restart real estate, what investment strategy would you focus on first?
I wouldn't change a thing.
Wouldn't change?
Mm-mm. No, because my goal still is to get out and serve people each and yeah. every day. I love selling houses. I love helping people buy the homes. But I wouldn't change a thing. I certainly wouldn't. I love what I do. Every day, I barely know. My son jokes with me all the time because he's like, Dad, today is Monday. Today's Wednesday. I never even know what day it is. half the time.
That's good. I mean,
because I love it. I get up and work. Who cares what label you put on it? It's a day. It's the day the Lord has made, and I'm here to help and serve. Let's go.
That's right.
You know, like
if you only had one investment box to live in, what would it be?
From one investment box to live in.
If you had one investment strategy, what would it be?
It'd be the fix and flip.
Fix and flip.
Yeah.
Do you ever sit there and go, oh, I gotta fix this up. Now I want to hold it. You ever thought about that?
No, because I'm ready to move on.
Turn and burn. I got you.
I'm ready to move on. Yeah.
So if you had to start over today and you had just $10,000 in your real estate ecosystem, what would you spend the $10,000 on?
A weekly newsletter every week.
Okay.
And Red X.
That's it.
That's it. Wow. That's all you got. And you pay maybe Red X, depending on the subscription and the features that you buy within that or subscribe to, $300 a month. And your newsletter with Constant Contact, I'd have to go back and look at the expense, but less than $100.
Yeah.
Build your database, throw them into a weekly newsletter, and go to Instagram when you're out showing properties. Hey, I'm at 123 Main Street, lovely place in Vestavia. This home is and here's what I'm doing. I'm helping people today.
Exposing and helping
every day. And then if you don't have any, people are like, oh, I don't have any listings, what do I do? Well, you work with ERA King. ERA King has what, 80 to 100 or more plus agents? Well, they've got listings. Mm. So they have listings in a neighborhood that you want to call in. We'll pick up the phone and say, hey, Thomas, Jason Garrison, ERA King. We've got a listing. One of your neighbors is selling the house. Do you know where they're going? Yeah, they've been there for 20 years, but now they're selling because they're looking to go down to the beach. They've got their house listed at this price. We've gotten so much activity on it, or maybe it's under contract. Hey, we just got this house under contract, Thomas, in your neighborhood in 4 hours. That's huge. And then they start talking. How long have you been in the neighborhood? Oh, yeah, you've been there that long? Great. If you were going to sell it today, where would you go? Oh, you know, my wife and I have talked about selling in the next 2 years. Put them in your database. It's 2 years out, long-term mindset.
Yeah.
That's going to be a customer in 2 years. Well, then you start having those conversations and snowballing it. Next thing you know, you're helping and serving people, and that person that you said that was going to move in 2 years,
right?
You know, when they say 2 years, it really means 12 months. If they say 6 months, it really means a month.
Wow. Yeah.
If they mean a week, it's a day.
Yeah.
You know, so there, life happens a lot sooner than what people think. So.
Oh, sure.
But, yeah, I would do that. Red X newsletter.
That's really, really good. You work with real estate investors as well.
Mm-hmm.
What are the biggest mistakes you see that these guys or girls are making? And how do you avoid those mistakes?
You make your money in the purchase.
Mm.
You make your money in the purchase, okay. Meaning that if you've bought that property at a premium, you know, one, again, know the market, know what that property can bear. You know, your ARV, your after repair value, you know, you've got to know your limit. You don't want to overdo it. You know, if you're putting granite in it and every one of them in there has laminate, or if you're going to go put hardwood and really carpet would do in that neighborhood, you know, so know your market.
Understand,
you don't want to
over
improve it, understand the market and buy. You make your money in the buy of things, not in the sell.
That's good. So you and I have talked off camera about IBC, alternate financing, those types of things. Let's talk about that for a second. How did you first discover Infinite Banking?
2017, I go to a breakfast at Dimitri's and kind of a little small group,
yep.
You know, and Mike Swally was there, okay. Nallin and Associates. And so Mike and I hit it off. Great, great guy. Love him to death. So much knowledge and just a good, godly man. And
sure.
But at that time in real estate, you know, I'd had some real estate friends talk about, you know, taxes would come around and they got to pay the IRS and they wouldn't have the money and they've got to go borrow money to pay the IRS. And I'm like, you know, I'm not going to get in that situation, you know, but so I'm very compartmentalized in my finances. I've got buckets for everything. I've got my everyday bucket. I've got my bill bucket, my savings bucket, my tax bucket. And so when I get paid, you know, all the money you know, tithe, you go tithe.
Yes.
And then it all goes.
So you get a $10,000 commission check.
Yeah.
Because you don't get weekly checks or monthly checks or biweekly. You get, when I sell something, I get that check.
Yeah. And I could sell something in a month. I could sell something every week. But when I sell something, that's the only time I get paid.
So if you get, okay, let's break this down. You get a $10,000 commission check just because it's easy math.
Yeah.
Talk to me about how the disbursement.
10% off the top tithe, obviously.
God, goes to Jesus.
The Lord has blessed me with that money. It's His. All I'm going to be, I'm just trying to be a good steward of what He's blessed
sure,
me with.
Absolutely.
So He gets, so that money rightfully goes back. So I tithe, and then the rest of it is, you know, I pay myself first. It goes into a savings account. Yeah. And then again, I take a certain percentage for taxes. Put it in a tax account, and then a bill account for bills, for my expenses. And then what's left is my everyday account. Every day would be to buy water, to buy a shirt, to go put gas in the car for groceries. But I can look at any given time, and no matter what happens, I've got my bills paid, I've got my savings account set aside, I've got money for taxes, and I've tithed. I've given the good Lord what He's blessed me with. And so I didn't find myself in a situation that, I didn't have the money to pay taxes. So what I did find was I would fill this tax account up with money, with my money that I earn. I'd fill it up in there, and then when it came time to pay taxes, I'd write a check. And that money would go to zero, and that account would go to zero. Well, now what was earning interest, that money's gone. Mm. It's not earning interest. It's not compounding. It's gone. It's not doing anything. And so I kind of got tired of doing that. And so I met Mike at 2017 and started talking to him. And he was telling me a little bit about what he was doing. And I said, man, I've got this problem. And I told him exactly what I just told you. And he said, let me show you something. And so now with that infinite banking, I took out a whole life policy. I will fund, instead of now funding my tax account, I fund that policy.
Yeah.
And then when comes time to pay taxes, I loan against it, give it to the IRS, continue to fund that policy with tax money. But at the same time, when that money is pulled out from a policy standpoint, it's never
still growing.
It's still growing. It's never depleting. It's never going to zero. You're earning money on top of that. It's compounding. And so to me, that was the sole purpose and was the only purpose. It wasn't to go buy real estate. It wasn't to, you know, do anything creative in terms of creative financing. It was solely to eliminate the whole of I've worked so hard for this money. The Lord has blessed me, so I want to take care of what He's blessed me with, and I feel like there's a better way to take care of it and to grow it. And if He's going to allow me to steward this money, am I stewarding it right by putting it in a checking account and just throwing it to the IRS and it's gone? No, I'm not being a good steward of His money. And so I felt like through that, it was allowing me to say, Lord, You have blessed me so much with this money. Let me help multiply that. To be able to not serve only my family, but also help other people that You've put in my path, whether it be through real estate or whether it be just, going to buy them coffee, going to buy them lunch, go buy dinner.
Right.
But that was it, and that served that purpose.
Infinite banking is something where you have to meet people where they are. Mm-hmm. Like, I've got a buddy he should be involved. They make a lot of money, but they're savers.
Mm-hmm.
They're savers. Mm-hmm. They're not investors. W-2 job, high income earners, they're savers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, infinite banking is a savings tool. It's not an investment tool.
Right.
Now, it can enhance it can enhance your investing.
Yeah, it's not to replace investing.
It's not
one
investing.
Bit.
It's not the market. Like it's a savings.
You should do both.
You should do both. It's a savings tool. And so, but there are also people out there that do massive amounts of investing in real estate or whatever. Like, I think that the person that is a real estate flipper is the prime candidate for infinite banking.
Mm-hmm.
Because the savings and the loaning and the savings and loaning, it's a cycle that would, it just perpetuates itself.
Yeah, yeah. And I have since used it for that.
Oh,
I've since pulled money out, did a policy loan and flipped a property and then put that money back in there. And I've also used it in ways of, again, going to a seller and showing them multiple avenues or multiple options and letting them choose what to do. And sharing the profit of saying, hey, look, we can maybe structure a deal where you don't have the $15,000 to do the work in it.
Right.
If I put, you're going to hold the note on the house, continue to pay the payments.
That's good.
You know, I'll pay for the construction, But then if we can sell it for $20,000, then I'll give you an extra five or 10 or whatever we work out. But I'm going to make sure I'm made whole on my renovation money. But also there's going to be a spread, or there's going to be on top of that, the profit I make from it.
Right.
And so again,
IBC account for that.
Yeah. And that's great. Have to go buy the property. It's again kind of like a subject to,
sure,
in a sense.
Yeah.
They held the note. They, you know, we just drew up a promissory note, protected myself and them.
Yeah.
But it's all very transparent. It's nothing shady. No, nothing. Uh-uh. Here's the options.
And I love that. I've never heard anyone present it like that, Jason. And I know a lot of agents. I've never heard someone present it like, hey, when you go into a deal, present these different options. It's almost like a good, better, best type thing.
It shows them that you're really for them.
You are.
I'm not telling you, to do this because it's best for me. I'm laying all these out and saying, pick one, we'll do it.
Here's the thing that I want people to understand about real estate agents, okay? Real estate agents, in a way, are like accident lawyers. Hear me out, mm-hmm, okay? You make money when the owner makes money.
Yeah.
They're going to make money, you're going to make money. Same thing with those guys. You have the best interest of these people at heart. Now, mm-hmm, there are some crooked agents.
Well, you
there,
should. There's some that don't.
But for the most part, like you want them to benefit.
Most definitely.
Two main reasons. Number one, you have to make money and have a living, just like they do. The number two is you want to have them to have a great experience so that they go tell Susie,
amen,
at the
right
gym.
There. Yep.
Hey, yep, this guy, he was amazing selling our house.
Yeah.
Like, for example, I'll give you a great example. One of my guys that I deal with, who I love, is a guy named Joey Calvin. Mm-hmm. So my dad was passing away. It was imminent. He was fixing to pass away. And we had to sell his home. And I just picked up the phone and said, hey, bro, here's the address. Go get this thing sold. Dude, I did nothing. Mm. Nothing. 3 weeks later, it was sold.
Yeah, that's awesome.
He was a blessing.
Yeah.
To me, and I'm indebted to that guy.
Yeah.
From that experience,
because
he took care of me.
Yeah.
And I didn't have to do anything.
Yeah.
Now I trusted him on the price.
Yeah. Yeah.
I trusted him on the negotiation.
Yeah.
But having a guy like that in your corner,
yeah,
is priceless.
Yeah. No, those are so the clients that I love to work with the most are those types of clients where they're like, look, this is your world. This is what you do. I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to, you know, I want you to communicate with me. I want you to be transparent of what's happening, but you do it, you go after it. And so a lot of the clients, I love that. Especially a lot of my older clients, mm-hmm, because they don't know, they need the help. They need hands on.
They do.
And so they want you to handle it. There's a lot of fear and uncertainty with them. They're just afraid of being taken advantage of. And so when you can go in, you can show them some options, you can help them, you can guide them and direct them. And I tell them all the time, I'm like a quarterback on a football
team.
That's
right.
I said, I'm directing the O-line. I've got the plan. I've got people in place.
Right.
And so I'm calling the shots. I'll communicate with you on what's going on, but I'm going to handle this from A to Z. And they love it.
Yeah.
And they don't have to do a thing. And I control every aspect of it.
That's a great analogy.
And they love it. And so those always work. It's the ones that want me to do my job, but they don't want me to do my job.
Sure.
They're like, I want you to do the job, but I want to tell you exactly how to do it.
Exactly how to do it, because I know what I'm talking about.
No, exactly.
You really don't.
Exactly. So, no, you have no
that's
idea.
Really good.
You have no idea.
So it's kind of rare that there's an agent that understands infinite banking. I want to get back to that. So when you've talked to people about IBC and you tell them what you're doing there, mm-hmm, what are some of the misconceptions that people have about using cash value life insurance for investing? Like, tell me what you've heard in that space.
You know, I think the biggest for me is, and what I've heard is, we talked a little bit about this while ago, is it's not an investing stand. It's not a short-term mindset game. It's not something that's going to replace you going out and investing within an IRA or buying mutual funds or buying stocks or bonds or, you know, it doesn't replace that. And I think a lot of folks get hung up on that. It's not a replacement of investments. It's just a different strategy. I mean, listen, banks use infinite banking. Banks, some of the wealthiest people.
Bank-owned life insurance is the number one thing that banks do.
Exactly. Some of the wealthiest people in the world use this strategy.
Sure.
Well, if they can use it, why can't I?
Yeah.
And so there, so it's educating yourself, you know. But again, listen, Dave Ramsey and folks like that, they're, you know, he's not a fan of it, but I'm telling you, he has a lot of very practical, he's very smart, very wise. It's very basic, you know, in his strategies, and that's okay. Yeah. It's not for everyone.
It's a tool. It's a 201. It's a 201 financing option. It ain't for everybody.
It's not for everybody.
It is not.
Not at all.
Okay,
not
so how do you feel? Okay, let me think. How to ask this? How does infinite banking compare to traditional financing options like mortgages and private money lending? What are you like?
Well, let's say, for example, if let's say just take a car.
Okay.
Let's say I'm going to go out and buy a car. I'm going to go to the dealership. I'm going to get financed right on the spot. My interest rate may be right now 8-9%
sure,
whatever
absolutely.
That may be.
Yeah.
but you know, I'm paying that back every month. Well, with infinite banking, I can go to my own policy, pull that money out, and go buy that car. And now I've got the title to that car because it's essentially paid off, right? Because I'm paying myself. Well, then I pay myself back.
Right.
Or if one day I decide, you know what, I've had a terrible month in real estate, or I've had two terrible months, or I've had six terrible months. Well, then I could turn that policy off, that payment off, and I don't have to pay it right away.
Right.
Well, can I go to the dealership and tell them, hey,
I had a bad month.
Yeah, I had, you know, Mr. Dealership, I've had six bad months. I don't want to pay you.
That's
They're like, okay, well, give me the keys to your car. And so that, to me, that's the biggest difference. That's the biggest difference. And it's just like, again, I mean, you're paying yourself. It's like somebody borrowing from a 401k. Would you rather borrow from your own 401k, your own policy, or go out and borrow from someone else? No, pay yourself back.
Pay yourself back.
You're,
that's right.
You're paying yourself back.
So give me some long-term vision for your real estate investments and in your real estate business. What's the long-term vision for Jason Garrison Real Estate?
Oh, man. You know, I love what I do every day. I'm going to continue to serve people and help. I'm going to continue to help people buy and sell houses. You know, I think for me, continuing that is the driver. I just love to do it. I love to meet people, love to help, love to serve. You know, learn new strategies. We talked a little bit about owner financing. I think that's, that to me is appealing, is going to buy a property and structuring that in a way so I can hold the note. But it's not a rental situation. It's like a rent to own. So they give me the 3.5% down or the 5% or 10, whatever we come up with. And we structure it. So maybe in 5 years they can purchase that property or 10 or 15. But they treat that property like their own. And if they default, then I get that property back. So whether they've paid it for 5 years, 6 years, I can always take that property back. But they're not calling me to change light bulbs. They're not calling me to go pump the septic tank.
So
they're
that's the rental part of your mind that you're starting to dabble
in.
I love it.
So
I think
that
it's great.
I also think too, as the aging demographics, as we have all these folks really aging, like the kind of the tsunami, the assisted living is a huge component. You know, you've got a lot of properties that you could go buy, turn into maybe a mini assisted living and a business and you know, how you can increase your rents that way.
Yeah.
You know, you can get a higher rent per dollar, you know, structuring it. So that's kind of interesting. So, but there's a lot of, just grow, learn, you know, have a growth mindset. We learned. We were at First Wednesday at Churchill Highlands last night, learning about a growth mindset. And so always be eager, always learning, being around people like yourself who are growing, who are learning, who are hungry. And so that's me. I'm married. Just got married. So the Lord's done a redemptive work there. Beautiful woman inside and out, loves the Lord with all of her heart. And so got married December the 13th of just last year.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, just newlywed. So we're learning, we're growing. So I'm in a chapter of my life where just kind of learning what it's like to really have a marriage that's based on His firm foundation.
Sure.
So learning and growing together, showing each other grace every day and being refined. You know, each and every day, having those little edges shaved off of you.
That's right.
And so my mindset now goes towards that. You know, what is it like to really honor her and love her each and every day and put Lord first and just think about the family.
Yeah.
You know, but still love real estate and open to learning different strategies and how to make some mailbox money. I love the idea of just having little oil wells pumping yeah. all around town. Now, how can I get that? What does that look like? Does that yeah. look like on short-term rentals? Do I do owner God. Financing?
I hate short-term
rentals. So I don't know.
Yeah, I am. You know, I do not want to go. I do not like a short-term rental, bro. It is. Let me tell you something.
It's a lot of work.
Short-term rental, and I've said this before here. Short-term rental is not real estate.
Yeah.
Short-term rental is hospitality.
Well, you're right.
It's
really
like
owning
a freaking hotel.
Yep.
I mean, I got one.
Yeah.
I love the property, but yeah. it's a lot.
Yeah. And see, I don't know that I want to go down that road, but I do. I'm learning more, and I want to learn more about how do I create a sustainable income that allows me to, if she and I want to go down to the beach for 2 months, 3 months, heck, 6 months, how can I do yeah. that and feel peace of mind knowing that, hey, the bills are taken care of. Or we still just have money coming in. You know, it's that mailbox money.
We
so
need
I wanna,
to. So.
Would love
hey,
to.
Hey, tell sure. everybody, if you're in the Birmingham metro area and you need a real estate agent, tell everybody where they can find you.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, Jason Lane Garrison at eraking.com.
Spell that. Spell Jason what Garrison?
Jason Lane, L-A-N-E.
Okay.
Garrison at eraking.com. You can find me. You can Google that. You can find me on Instagram at Jason Garrison, eraking, Facebook.
Perfect.
Anywhere. YouTube. That's just it. Type in Jason Lane Garrison.
That's great.
You can find me anywhere. I'm not a secret agent.
There you go. Perfect. Jason, thanks for joining me.
Thank you. Thank you.